Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. This week, of course, it'll be our special SummerSlam preview edition of weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will primarily be discussing Saturday's big SummerSlam event at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I suppose by now everyone knows that the Seth Rollins and Riddle match has been canceled. Excuse me. The official word on why it was canceled was that Riddle was injured during an attack from Seth Rollins. That's a work. Obviously, there's other plans. Something's up. Now, there's been all kinds of speculation on exactly what is up. Things ranging from people coming back to challenge him. I guarantee you Seth Rollins is on the card. At some point, Seth Rollins will be on the card. There's word maybe it's Randy Orton. Orton's going to come back. Fight Seth Rollins. There's word that it could be this one or that one. I really don't know, folks. They're keeping it kind of close to the bone what's going to happen here, but I can promise you something's going to happen. They didn't cancel one of the more high-profile matches, and by that I mean the one that, like, wrestling fans were most looking forward to. You know, I talked to a lot of wrestling fans, and when that match was initially pulled, and they really did think that maybe Riddle was injured, there were a lot of fans saying, well, there goes really the only match I thought was going to be a good match. So the WWE certainly did not pull this match to do absolutely nothing. So something's up. Not exactly sure what yet, but I guess we'll find out tomorrow. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through these matches one at a time, and we're going to discuss them. We're going to give our opinions on what we think, who's going to win, how it's going to affect things going forward, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to start out. Oh, by the way, we should make a little brief comment. There's some rumors that the WWE is trying to get back into the good graces of Naomi and Sasha Banks. Naomi. I think Naomi is a very, very good wrestler. I think Sasha Banks is a good draw. I would not do either one. I don't care. You can blame this whole thing on Vince McMahon. You can't look, the bottom line of the situation is they took their ball and went home, and there were people in the audience who had paid to see them. That's unacceptable. At least you finish the night and then you walk out. And if you're going to cater to them now and say, oh, I'm just so sorry, well, then I don't know. Then you're going to get more of that. So I say, to hell with them. The show's doing fine. Promote some of the women who want to be there. Anyway, let's start with the Mysterios versus the Judgment Day in a no disqualification match. Now, we saw the Mysterios versus the Judgment Day on this week, and Finn Balor was clean pinned by Rey Mysterio, who was celebrating his 20 years in the business. I said at the time, this hurts the Judgment Day. It hurts the Judgment Day going forward, even. They can sneak attack Rey in the dressing room and in the back all they want. It does not make up for the fact that you were clean pinned, dead center of the ring, rendering your team ineffective. And now you're going to do a no disqualification match, which I can promise you is going to end up with Rhea Ripley interfering and then eventually Edge coming down and making his big return. And we're building this up for what? Edge fighting Finn Balor? Finn Balor has already been pinned. Rey Mysterio took the pin away from Edge. You know, you're supposed to wait for that long-anticipated pin. Oh, nobody's pinning Finn Balor. He's getting away with murder. I wonder if Edge will be able to do it. Well, you're done. Finn Balor lost clean to Rey Mysterio. Oh, you could have had Damian Priest lose, but no, it had to be Finn. Now there's rumors out. Maybe they'll bring the demon down. Who cares? Who cares? I don't see the Mysterios losing this. And it's just one more nail in the Judgment Day coffin unless they pull something by which Edge doesn't interfere until after the match is over. I suppose they could do that. But I just don't see it. The WWE now, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, it's the Triple H era and we're going to have a whole new whatever. Let's just wait on that. I have very seldom in my lifetime agreed with CM Punk. But CM Punk said recently, if you think Vince McMahon retiring means he's still not getting everything ran by him, you're crazy. I agree 100%. He's officially out of it. It means nothing. Like a manager being thrown out of a baseball game means absolutely nothing. So I'm not expecting huge sweeping changes. Maybe we'll get minor changes. The only thing I'm really expecting out of this is maybe talent now can go to the, you know, the head person and not feel like they're being ignored. At least Triple H will be good at that, I suppose. I don't see the Judgment Day losing this. I mean, winning this. I don't see them winning it because, A, they lost Monday night. B, Edge is going to come back. And C, unless Dominic Mysterio turns, which I don't see, I don't know what good it would do. So Judgment Day wins. And you're what, 50-50 with the Mysterios? So it's helped nobody? Dominic turning could potentially help things along storyline-wise, but he's a terrible fit for this faction. And I don't know how that would help with Edge coming back, because then it would still be three guys on the side of the Judgment Day and only two, even if Edge joined forces with Rey Mysterio. So I just don't see that happening. What I see is another Judgment Day loss thanks to Edge, Mike, and I don't know where the Judgment Day go from here.
I don't know where they go from here as well. And really, you're going to tell me you're going to – we can see where this Dominic Mysterio thing is going. There is a definite through line. There's a definite end point to the Dominic and Rey storyline, and that's eventually Dominic gets the mask, right? That's where this goes. And if – you flip Dominic, if you turn him, then what happens to that storyline? I'm not saying that they're not stupid enough to do it. I'm just stating a fact here, Marcus.
And you're right. You're absolutely right. And they're stupid enough to do it. You're right about that, too. They'll do it. But what good does it do? I mean, you've introduced that mask. Sort of the new mask that he got for his birthday. I mean, his birthday, his 20th anniversary. And, you know, you've seen how Dominic was looking at it and stuff. And I don't know. I don't even know if there's any story here. See, that's the problem with the WWE. Is there a long-term story with Dominic taking the mask and you know, heading the next generation of Mysterios? I don't know. So far, what Rey Mysterio said has held true. Mysterio is in a position where he doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do. And Rey Mysterio has said, I have no interest in feuding with my son. So I don't know. Don't know where it goes. I'm going to pick the Mysterios here, Todd, because why not? I mean, the Edge is coming back. He's not coming back to help them win, I doubt.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this whole thing, the Mysterios and the Judgment Day angle, like you said, it's been a mess since Edge got kicked out of the group, out of that stable. You know, I don't see Dominic fitting where into the join of the Judgment Day or anything. I'm going to go with the Mysterios as well.
Yeah, it'll be a surprise to me. I mean, I guess they could do it. But it would be a surprise to me if they did, because I know Rey's been against it since it was first mentioned. They've had ample opportunity to do this if they wanted to do it. I think what Ray is interested in is more along the lines of what Mike is saying, which is he wants to eventually pass the torch to his son, give him the mask, the whole nine yards, which I'm not sure it's going to work because, you know, he's sizably bigger than Ray, and in the mask with the mystery, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be the same. But I think that's what Ray – now, if you told Ray, well, you're going to do a friendly match in which if Dominic beats you, then you pass the torch, he'd probably do that match. But so far he said he's no interest in feuding with Dominic as a heel. He doesn't necessarily think Dominic being a heel is a good idea right now. So we'll see what happens with that. This will probably be the Edge return. He was due to appear in Madison Square Garden on Monday night. There was some kind of travel issues. Not exactly sure what that's all about. I'm never too sure what it's about when people say travel issues, because now, you know, you don't know whether it's, oh, well, restricting travel due to, you know, the virus, or they're just delays because of weather. I don't know. I do know this. If you're scheduled to be in Madison Square Garden in a big event on the 20th anniversary of Rey Mysterio, and you don't make it, shame on you. Should have been there a day early then, if that's the case. Anyway, I did want to mention just in passing that I guess Control Your Narrative has introduced that they have signed Sarah Logan as Sarah Rowe, and she's going to be wrestling for them. They did the most unusual video I think I've ever seen anyone ever do. It basically just shows her standing in front of a camera. At first, I thought it was almost like a Bray Wyatt angle, because it looks like it's at this, like, deserted farm, and she's just standing there glaring at the camera, and they're doing, like, this weird sort of, like, close-up, far-away thing with her eyes. But then they show her, like, feeding the cattle and baling some hay, and then back to holding, like, a scythe, and then shooting a bow and arrow, and then petting some cows. I don't know what the hell they're doing. It was one of the weirdest videos I think I've ever seen, because it doesn't tell you anything about her. It's like, okay, well, is she a farm girl, or is she, like, is there some kind of underlying violent psychopathic thing going on? Nobody knows. It's just, here she is, Sarah Rowe. She looks good. But I don't think this did anything for her actual image. And it's too bad, because 15 seconds in, I was like, uh-oh, they're going to do something real interesting with her. They're going to make her like this backwoods psycho type girl. But no, later on, it looked like one of those commercials for, the dating service for farmers or something. It's just not too good. Anyway, let's get back to SummerSlam, and we'll go for the next match. Let's see. They'll probably end up doing Logan Paul versus The Miz next, I would think. You know, here's the deal, folks. Other than the fact that maybe Tommaso Ciampa causes a disqualification or a flat-out loss, Logan Paul did not come back here to lose. And Logan Paul has obviously been able to write his own ticket. He said, I want to come back as a heel, despite the fact that he's a natural-born heel. And the WWE said, okay. And I doubt he came back here and said, yeah, I'm going to come back here and take a big loss. So I'm guessing that Logan Paul is going to win. This is going to be – I guess he signed a contract to be – more permanent. I don't know how permanent. I don't know whether that contract is once in a blue moon or every week. I don't think it's every week. But either way, he'll beat The Miz, and probably Ciampa will attack him afterwards. Ciampa and The Miz will probably attack him afterwards. But he'll get the win, in my opinion. Mike, what's your thoughts on this match?
I think he'll get the win as well. And because you don't want to anger him, so that's that, and you want him here on a semi-long-term basis. Oh, and by the way, before I move on from the assassin, yeah, I do think they'll get the win. Before I move on, one of the more interesting things I saw was something I saw on Tuesday night with NXT. Apparently, they're running an angle with their women's tag team champions where one of them threw the belt in the trash, right?
Yes.
And lo and behold, what happened? Who did they bring in to, I guess, promote what was eventually what's going to eventually be a tournament for those championships? Well, Alundra Blaze.
Yeah, I guess all has been forgiven there. That's kind of interesting. We'll see where that goes. But, yeah, you're right. That's very interesting. Also, we should mention Johnny Gargano showed up on Impact Wrestling, but only to cut a little promo for a friend of his, Alex Shelley, and no, he hasn't been signed or anything. It was just a favor to a friend. So I know a lot of people ask me, well, is he actually Impact now? No, he's not. Yeah, Todd, I don't see the Miz winning this match. I don't see what good it would do. Logan Paul just signed with the company to have his first match be a loss.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I don't see that either. You know, like you said about Logan Paul, like you said with him, he's a natural heel. There's no way people would cheer for him. I'm going to go with the same pick as you.
Let me just say this, though. This is an important match for Logan Paul, and I'm going to tell you why. They need to get him over as a face if that's what he's going to be. And that's not just his responsibility. It's the Miz's responsibility, too. So they have to plan this match in a way that even the people who said, yeah, I don't really like Logan Paul, I hope he gets his ass busted, somehow end up rooting for Logan Paul. There's two ways to do this. Number one, you have to let Logan Paul show as much talent as he possibly can, as much of a good moveset as he possibly can, so people remember, wow, he's not just some dumb celebrity who wants to pretend he's a wrestler. He's actually really good. If you show that and he wows the crowd with some moves you didn't think he was going to do, they may just get on his side. Alternately, the Miz can't come out there and be funny. He can't come out there and do his, you know, one-liners and play to the crowd. He's got to get that crowd angry with him. That's the only way this is going to work for Logan Paul. So both of these guys, Mike, have a job to do tomorrow night, and it'll be interesting to see if they do it.
It'd be interesting to see they do it, and to tell you the truth, you know what? I know she don't want to do it, but you know what would help in that matter if somehow they found a way to get Maurice involved. But and they're not gonna do it, but it would help because Maurice and the Miz are a team.
Absolutely. I mean, they may still. She may have some involvement. But I'm not sure what it will be. Probably be very minimal, if anything, because I don't think she has any plans on wanting to really come back and be at the Miz's side for long periods of time. She's got the kids and stuff, and it's, you know, probably more than she wants to do. All right, so we're kind of in agreement with that one, that Logan Paul is going to win. This really isn't that hard of a card to decide. The United States Championship will probably be next. And that would be Bobby Lashley, the champion, against Theory for the United States Championship. There's just no way Theory's winning. This one is almost a guarantee because the U.S. champion's not going to hold the Money in the Bank briefcase. There's just no point. There's no point in that at all. Now, I imagine Dolph Ziggler's going to factor into this. In some way, shape, or form, Dolph Ziggler's going to factor into this. Now, would it be interesting if the U.S. champion held the Money in the Bank briefcase? Yes. Yes, it would, but they're not going to do it. They've just put it on, Lashley. They're not going to take it off him immediately like this, and they're certainly not going to do it at SummerSlam. So Austin Theory, in my opinion, loses this, probably due to some direct interference by Dolph Ziggler. I do think they'll make Theory look really good in this match. I do think they'll show that he came close to winning it, because, you know, otherwise they're kind of downplaying him. So I think there's a couple of opportunities here where you'll say, oh man, Theory was a heartbeat away. He's a lot better than we think. I think that's the gimmick of the match. As they're booking this match, they're saying, look, we want it to appear as though on a few occasions you were just literally a microsecond away from being the United States champion. But Lashley's strength coupled with maybe Dolph Ziggler's interference was too much for you, and ultimately you lose. So I'm going to go with Bobby Lashley retaining, Mike.
Right. I'll go with that too. It doesn't make sense because it doesn't fit in what you're trying to do with the storyline with Dolph Ziggler. I mean, I know Dolph Ziggler's storyline is a kind of a short-term-ish storyline, but it doesn't make sense to have for Theory to win, because it doesn't make sense for the storyline, right?
I agree with you. It doesn't. But where do you go from here? This is the thing. If you're going to do the Ziggler storyline, and the Ziggler storyline is what we're saying, how in the world do you get to that without Ziggler? Would Ziggler cost him the U.S. title? I don't know. I don't know. It's a very interesting thing what they're going to do with Ziggler, Mike. I was convinced that they were going to have him eventually say to Theory, I never was really trying to stop you. I was trying to show you how to avoid all the mistakes I made when I was young and I was like you. And I was showing you how easily distracted you can be, how easy this happens, that happens, so you're not focused. But lately, I don't know, man. I don't know whether they're just going to try to get a cheap feud out of this and say goodbye to it. I'm not 100% sure.
Right. And, you know, this is the kind of storyline a guy like Dolph Ziggler should be in. You know, I don't know where it's going to go, but we've talked about these type of veterans like Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode and AJ Styles and people like that, where they should be, what kind of storylines they should be in. And this is the exact kind of storyline that Dolph needs to be in nowadays.
I agree. And also, you know, with the Vince McMahon thing wrapping up, where Vince was sort of the guy taking care of him and showing him the ropes, it was almost as if they introduced Ziggler to say, you're going to take McMahon's place. And I'll be surprised if it's something else. I mean, he even said to AJ Styles the same thing. Well, I see a lot of myself in him, and I think that it's, you know, he's making some mistakes. I just think in the long run, that's where the story's going. But I still say they're going to run Ziggler out there at some point. I'm picking Lashley to retain, Todd. What's your thoughts on this?
I'm going to go with you on this one, too. Like you said, like you said, with the thing with Ziggler and Theory here, I'm going to say, like you said, with Ziggler, I think he's going to interfere somehow in this match.
Yep, I agree with that. I agree with it. I don't see anything else other than that. I mean, he's not going to – I don't think Ziggler – if they're really going to play this out, I don't think Ziggler would stop him from cashing in. That would really be – if that happened, then it's just a feud. And he's going to beat Ziggler, and then what? He doesn't have the Money in the Bank briefcase, and where do you go from here? That doesn't seem to make that much sense to me. So my thought on the process is he will interfere in the U.S. title match, and we'll talk about the rest later. The Usos, obviously, next up. They're going to go against we don't have the Usos match. Do we? Not up yet? Yeah. I guess it probably would be next. So the Usos against the Street Profits. Special guest referee Jeff Jarrett. I still don't know why. That one really puzzles me. I have no idea why you pulled Jeff Jarrett out of mothballs for this. But my thought process would be, it can't be for nothing. It can't be for absolutely nothing. There has to be a reason that you picked Jeff Jarrett and pulled him out of mothballs. I just don't know what it is. I see no reason he would side with the Usos, but I also see no reason he would side with the Street Profits. So I'm just going to say that, you know, the Usos and the whole bloodline are starting to get popular. I think taking the belt away from them is probably a mistake. So I'll just go with the Usos, but I have no idea why, you know, Jeff Jarrett's involvement would mean something, Mike, or means nothing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they could have had somebody different. I don't know to be the guest referee that would have fit this thing. I just don't know why this is. If you wanted to have somebody different, then and what you're saying is they're gonna forgive. Seems like they're gonna forgive Naomi and what's her name. Then you put Naomi as the guest referee. Now they would say, well, then that means the Usos are gonna be winning. But again, that would be my thing. But Jeff Jarrett, I don't get it.
Yeah, again, I don't see the payoff. Like, if Jeff Jarrett were already in the hierarchy of the WWE and you say, well, he leans sort of heel or he leans sort of face, I guess I get it, but I don't get this one at all. Other than, I just don't know. I don't know why he's in there. Maybe no reason. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, Todd, what's your thoughts on this? I'm going to go with the Usos to retain.
I'm going to go with the Usos as well. Like you said, they're saving the Usos for a big tag team, for a bigger tag team.
Yeah, it would seem so, although I don't know who that's going to be. But I don't think the Usos without the belts are anywhere near as effective with the bloodline. So that's why I'll say they'll beat the Street Profits. There may be. The only thing to watch for in this match is this may be where they separate the Street Profits. Remember they kept hinting it that Dawkins wasn't getting along with Montez Ford, and then they said, no, everything seems fine. Maybe, just maybe, this is where they do that. I've heard they want to give Montez Ford a solo run. They think he would be better as a solo performer. If that's the case, this could be the match that does it. So that's really the only thing to watch out for in this match, in my opinion. All right, then we go to, Pat McAfee versus Baron Corbin, I guess, or Happy Corbin, I should say. When's the last time Corbin won a pay-per-view match? I don't think I can remember. It had to be a long time ago. I'm talking about not just like months and months, years ago, right? I'm thinking back and I'm saying, when is the last time I saw Baron Corbin actually win at a pay-per-view? And truthfully, I think it was before the pandemic. That's a long time. Long time. Here's the problem. If Pat McAfee starts dropping wrestlers left and right, he's already dropped Austin Theory, which didn't help Theory, although they just plod right on with it like Theory's more than a match for Bobby Lashley, but he can't beat Pat McAfee. If he just keeps plodding on through wrestlers, what does that say about your wrestlers if your announcer's tougher than them? I like Pat McAfee a lot. I think you make a great wrestler. But he's got to make a choice, because if you're going to be an announcer, you can't be tougher than the wrestler. You just can't be. Not if you weren't originally a wrestler. I mean, if you got Randy Savage sitting there saying, well, I'm in temporary retirement. Yeah, well, of course you can come out of retirement and beat somebody that. But if you're Pat McAfee, you just can't get up and say, well, I've only had a couple of professional wrestling matches, but I'll still go in there and beat somebody's ass. So I have mixed feelings about this. I think McAfee's going to win, But I just don't see how this does the WWE locker room any good at all. And I just don't see how this makes the WWE's wrestlers look like they're, you know, top-notch or tough guys when announcers can come out from behind the booth having had a couple of matches in their lifetime and beat them by.
Right. There's a difference. There's a difference between Pat McAfee and Corey Graves or Jerry the King Lawler. Corey Graves and Jerry the King Lawler were wrestlers. Now, Graves is never coming out because they don't want him to, you know, because they're afraid that he might get more hurt than he already is or something to that effect. And we know what Jerry Lawler is. I mean, yeah, he wrestles here and there and all that stuff, but they're not going to put him in a WWE ring, you know, at that age. But there's a difference between those two guys and, you know, Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee's a fine athlete, don't get me wrong, but he didn't come in as a wrestler. He came in as a play by color man, right? And
yes.
He's done an incredible job as a color man. Now,
very good job.
He has to make a choice. He has to make a choice. If he wants to be a wrestler, he has to choose, and it would be a bad choice for the WWE because they would have to find somebody as good as him, and then they would have to find somebody as good as him, and that's going to be hard to do. But he would have to make a choice as being a full-time wrestler, you know?
I guess there are ways they could pull this off. Maybe McAfee gets some help somehow, or Corbin clearly has him beaten but keeps picking him up and then just gets robbed of the victory. I guess there are ways they could do it. But I'm just write me down as not being a big fan of a guy who's not a wrestler continually beating people who are wrestlers. I don't care who it is. I don't care. I don't care if it's some, you know, 6'7", 300-pound football player. The bottom line of the situation is, if he's not a wrestler, he should not be able to beat people who are in the ring on a regular basis. And the crowd's going to support McAfee. McAfee's a very likable guy and probably the best color commentator they've had in many, many a year. But you are running a risk here if you continually allow Pat McAfee to beat your guys. Just as simple as that. So I do think he's going to win, though. Baron Corbin, I just looked it up. Baron Corbin's last victory at a pay-per-view was in December of 2019. We're in 2022, folks. So, yeah, I don't think Baron Corbin or Happy Corbin has a chance here, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, about Happy Corbin, King Corbin, whatever you're called. This Corbin, I'll just call him Corbin, just to be easier for everybody to just say it. Yeah. Last time he won a match, like you said, back in 2019, that was 3 years ago. Wow. Well, like you said, I don't think he's going to have a chance either, so I'm going to go with Pat McAfee as well.
Yeah, I think that's fairly easy to call. Because I don't see how it helps Baron Corbin. So Baron Corbin wins, and then what? See, that's the problem. There's no "and then what." Anyway, Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch. I'll tell you, I just don't see Becky Lynch winning this. I think the gimmick that they're going through with Becky Lynch is that she's suffering some sort of a nervous breakdown based upon the fact that she can't get her career back after she came back from her having her child. And I think they're trying to show that with her outrageous clothing and her diatribe in the ring and always falling a little bit short and once in a while showing that flash of the old Becky Lynch but never quite being able to reach the goal she wants. And I think this is just one more part of that story. I don't see them taking this off Bianca Belair, and I don't think they should. I don't think they should. At this stage of the game, putting that belt around Becky Lynch's waist, I think is a mistake, which is something I never thought I'd say, because at one time, Becky Lynch was carrying the women's division on her back. She was the top person as far as sales in the women's division is concerned. She definitely had the most fan support. She was 100% the top. And now, you know, it's all fallen away. And I think they're going to try at some point to get it back to where it was, and this is part of the plan. So I'm going to go with Bianca Belair, Mike. I think she'll retain this.
I think she will retain as well. And frankly, I think they ought to pull Becky Lynch aside and tell her she needs to gain some weight.
Yeah, we've talked about this quite a bit. And she doesn't look the part anymore. She just doesn't. It's a shame. Look, she still has the skill. She's not lost anything. She's not lost a step or anything. But she just looks like someone who couldn't really stand up to some of the people she was standing up to before. Wait till Charlotte Flair comes back. I mean, Charlotte Flair is a bit of an Amazon. You know, she's very highly muscular. She's tall. She's thick muscle. And she's going to look like a child. And that didn't used to be that way. It used to be like two women who clearly were athletic and tough. So we'll see what happens. What's your thoughts, Todd? Bianca Belair or Becky Lynch?
I got to go with the EST, Bianca Belair, to retain her Raw Women's Championship. I don't think you're going to see her lose to give that belt anytime soon. Like you said, I see people are, she's getting over with the fans with the belt, and you know, people like her as the champion.
Yeah, I think they do. And I think, again, I think Bianca Belair, I think her best years are just coming. Like, when she first came through, she rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. Her gimmick felt heelish. And there were times when she just had a smarmy attitude. And it's like, hey, I don't know what you're doing. You're supposed to be the face. But she's starting to get better and understand when she can do that and get away with it and when she shouldn't do that. And I think she's maturing a little bit as an athlete and as a professional wrestler. And I think she's got a lot of good years ahead of her. And I just don't see them pulling that title away from her. I think it would be a mistake. Let her have a decent run. Let her bring it into WrestleMania at the very least and see what happens from there. So we're in agreement on all of these so far. So far, this card has been relatively easy to call. Now it gets to one that may not be that easy. Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey. Now on paper, folks, I'm sorry, this should be a squash match on, you know, SmackDown. I know there's a ton of Liv Morgan fans out there that's going to be mad at me and say, oh, she can hang with... No, she can't. No, she can't. Heard somebody today say, well, you know, out of the three Riot Squad members, Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan were sort of like neck and neck, and then Sarah Logan was sort of the odd person out. No, they were wrong. That's completely wrong. That's completely wrong. Ruby Riott was definitely the best technical wrestler. Liv Morgan was the diva. She's the one who had the looks, and she just did her little personality thing, and she knew three moves. And Sarah Logan looked like the bro. That's what that was all about. And Liv Morgan is still not great in the ring. And Liv Morgan, I don't care what anybody says, is still getting popular off, a lot of her popularity is off of her look. So, what do you do? Well, right now, if you're the WWE, I don't care what is making Liv Morgan popular, she's popular. She's selling merchandise. She's getting pop from the fans. I don't think you can pull the belt away from her. At the same time, you cannot, and I mean absolutely cannot, have Liv Morgan pin Ronda Rousey clean. You can't do it. If that's the case, then send Ronda Rousey home. She's done. It's all done. Forget it. So I'm expecting possibly Charlotte Flair to show back up. The case, and somehow Charlotte Flair interferes, causes some pandemonium or whatever. Maybe Ronda Rousey doesn't even lose. Maybe it's just a disqualification victory for, you know, Liv Morgan or Ronda Rousey one way or the other, and then they just go on to their separate ways. But either way, I don't see Ronda Rousey losing clean. However, I do think Liv Morgan's going to retain this belt somehow. I'm not 100% sure how, but I don't think it's going to be a clean pin, Mike. I think it'll be some kind of shenanigans.
Right, and I don't think it's going to be clean. I do think Charlotte's about ready to come back and could factor into the match. I mean, it would make sense if she did factor into the match, so I don't think it's going to be clean. And I think she's going to retain, but Ronda Rousey's not going to be made to look weak. And one other thing about Becky Lynch, as I was watching that whole promo on Tuesday night with Medusa, with Alundra Blaze, I'm looking at Alundra Blaze and I'm saying, at 60, you compare her, almost 60, you compare Alundra Blaze to Becky Lynch, and you say, put these two women in the ring and which woman should win?
Right. Yeah. That's a problem. Look at Alundra Blaze, right? Alundra Blaze still looks, and how old is she? She's got to be mid-50s?
Late 50s.
Yeah, mid-50s. Got to be, right? I don't know for sure, but I'm thinking mid-50s. So, yeah, no, you're right. We'll see what ends up happening with this. You know, Ronda Rousey's temporary anyway. She signed a one-year deal. She's only here till WrestleMania. So they're going to have to go with a different champion anyway. And I know they brought her back to basically just feud with Charlotte. So I'm thinking we're going to see Charlotte. Okay, so that leaves us with just the one match then, because we don't know who Seth Rollins is going to face. I think Seth Rollins is facing someone. I think Seth Rollins is going to come out and say, well, I'm not going to have my SummerSlam hijack. I'll face anybody, and somebody's coming in. If I were a betting man, I would say it's Randy Orton. But I don't know for sure what the status is or how things are happening. Other than that, I don't know. I don't know who it could be. And they could call somebody up from NXT. I don't know what they got planned. I do know that they're not going to leave Seth Rollins hanging with no match. I don't believe it. Absolutely don't believe it. Cody Rhodes ain't ready, so it's not going to be Cody. So we can't really talk too much about that, so we'll just go on with the Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. This is where something's going to happen, folks. And not just because it's the main event of SummerSlam, because of everything that's happened. Brock Lesnar clearly does not want to wrestle in the WWE if Vince McMahon is not in charge. But we don't know what Vince McMahon told Brock Lesnar. For all we know, Vince McMahon could have told Brock Lesnar, I'm still in charge. I'm just out of the picture. You can absolutely call me. You can absolutely work through me, and I'll work through Triple H. You don't even have to discuss anything with anybody else but me. He could have done that. We don't know. I do know that if he didn't do that, Brock Lesnar doesn't want to wrestle for the WWE. So he's not winning. Quite obviously, he's not winning. Now, this is just for the Universal Championship, and that's it, right? I haven't heard anything about it being for Bo. So I think something is going to happen. I don't think Theory is going to cash in successfully, because then what's this whole Dolph Ziggler angle about? That doesn't make a ton of sense. Unless Dolph Ziggler literally helps him cash in. But something's going to happen. There's no way, with all the bad publicity and all the bad press and everything else that's happened in the WWE recently, that they're just going to have Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar, hold up the belt and say, oh, well, that's it. Thanks for watching SummerSlam. I don't believe it. I think they've got something major planned. I'm not sure what it is. It could be Brock Lesnar win. That could very well be that Brock Lesnar wins, because then you have a situation where Theory could cash in on either person, I guess, right? Because then I think it's only for the Universal Championship. So there'd be two champions again, right? I think I got that right, because they didn't say it was for both. Do you have any information on that, Mike? Because I know they keep holding up both belts, but I didn't hear it was for both.
I didn't hear it was for both either, and it makes sense. And think about this. Remember what happened when Theory was first getting hot, and he and Roman Reigns and Brock, it was at the Elimination Chamber or whatever before that, and Brock Lesnar comes in and he destroys everybody but Theory, right? Puts the cowboy hat on him and all that stuff. And we speculated that Brock Lesnar likes him. And furthermore, I think he's one of the few people that Brock wouldn't mind working with now, you know?
Yeah, I think he likes him too. I don't know if he dropped to him. I don't know. This is the one that's going to get me, because I know something more is going to happen than this. I know something's going to happen. But there's a few things that could happen, because we don't know what Brock Lesnar's status is without Vince McMahon. Now, there's a lot of people said he didn't really walk out. Yes, he freaking did. Now, he came right back. But he clearly said, if Vince is out of here, I don't want to be here either. And he means it. And he doesn't need the money. Now, he has to honor the contract. So if they had him for one or two more matches, then he's got to do one or two more matches. But if they only had him on a match-by-match basis, and this SummerSlam match was the only match left in his contract, he doesn't have to do anything else. He doesn't have to work for them at all. So I don't know. You're not going to put the belt on somebody like that. But just having Roman Reigns polish off Brock Lesnar one more time is very anticlimactic. Very, very anticlimactic. So I do think something major is going to happen. I don't necessarily think Theory's cashing in successfully, because if he does, man, I think you rushed it. I think you rushed it. I think you could have really had something with Theory holding on to that briefcase for an extended period of time. He's real good at taunting people with the briefcase and doing all that stuff, and this would be a really extraordinarily quick cash-in. So I'm a little confused about what they might do, because I don't know all of the behind-the-scenes details of contracts and who's scheduled to stay and what's going on. I know that Roman Reigns wants a sweetheart deal. He's got a lot of time off. And I know that USA want a champion on their show. So this is the one I really can't call. I'm not even sure if it's for the one or both belts. If it's for both belts, then certainly Roman Reigns is winning. Certainly he is. If it's for just the one, the Universal Championship, I don't think he is. I don't think he is. And if he isn't, then somebody else is, and that's got to be Brock Lesnar, and then maybe there is a cash-in. Maybe there is. Extraordinarily odd. Plus, you got to understand something. Let's say it's only for one belt. What happens if Brock Lesnar wins? So he is the Universal Champion, but not the WWE Champion. F5s Roman Reigns a bunch of times, and then Theory cashes in on Roman Reigns, who didn't even win the match. Right? Because you can cash in on either champion. That's the rules, right? So if it's only for one title, he doesn't even have to cash in on the winner. Now, he's been saying it doesn't matter who wins, Brock Lesnar or whatever. Well, it may not matter, because he may be able to cash in on the loser, Mike.
He may be, and that's the thing. And if that's the case, then what – I mean, they can also play it as he got the thought of cashing in on Roman Reigns from Dolph Ziggler. See how that can play into that storyline?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's something going to happen here. This is where it's going to get interesting. The rest of this pay-per-view, in my opinion, is pretty much going to be, other than who Seth Rollins is going to fight, and I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. The rest of this pay-per-view is pretty cut and dry, and you can pretty much figure it all out. Something's going to happen in this main event. They cannot just go through this cookie cutter and say, well, Roman wins and that's it. Theory doesn't cash in and everybody goes home. I just don't believe that. Because if that's what you booked on the strength of the undercard of this pay-per-view, man, did you book a bad pay-per-view. Because you're already going to be looking at people who said, well, I knew the outcome of every match. There's no real big surprises. There was nothing too great here. You got to send them home with like, oh, shit, type moment. And I really believe they're going to do it. I really believe they're going to do it. But I'm not sure what the oh, shit moment is. Is it that we now have two champions again? Or is it that Brock Lesnar just wins and it was for both belts? Which I think it's not. But if it is, and the oh, shit moment is, I guess Brock came to terms with them and it's going to do more matches? Or is it going to be a cash-in? Something's up. If you have to pick a winner, who do you pick here?
I was on the Wikipedia page of the SummerSlam matches. It says the Undisputed Universal Championship. The Undisputed World Championship for the Universal and the WWE Championship. Looks like it.
So it is for both? So it's for both?
I think so.
If it's for both, then Roman is winning. They're not giving both to Brock Lesnar, and they're not giving both to Theory. I really thought this is the moment they might separate them again. But if it is for both, unless something bizarre happens, they won't. If that's the case, Mike, then this could be a pretty cut and dry pay-per-view, because there's no way until WrestleMania Roman Reigns is losing both of these titles.
Right. And if that's the case, then the only surprise will be a mild one, and will be the Seth Rollins deal. Who will he be facing?
Yeah. And that's not a really big surprise. You know, how many people can it be? It can't be Cody, because he can't possibly be ready yet. Some people are saying, you think they've hired Bray Wyatt back? Nah, they wouldn't bring Bray Wyatt back under those circumstances. Well, what would it mean? So he comes back and beats Seth Rollins. Why? So it would have to be Randy Orton. And if it's Randy Orton, Randy's going to get a huge pop. He returns. He's going to beat Seth Rollins. And people are going to be like, that's cool, Randy's back. That's not that huge of a deal. It's not like, oh, my God moment. The oh, my God moment would be if he came back to challenge Roman Reigns, not Seth Rollins. So I don't know. If it's for both championships, it makes things a little different. Maybe there's going to be something in which, I mean, that's stretching it, but maybe they're still going to try to somehow say, well, the referee screwed up and this, that. You see, if both Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns come out of SummerSlam with a belt apiece, it would actually be better for the WWE in general, and it would be much more interesting to see what Theory's going to do, and I think things would just be better, a lot better, especially with Brock Lesnar being a part-time, very part-time, if they've signed him at all, past SummerSlam, and Roman Reigns kind of being part-time. At least they could be part-time and filling in where the other guy's gone a little bit. Okay, you're not going to see Roman for a while, but Brock will be here for a couple of shows now. You know, Brock's gone. Roman will come back for a couple of shows. Something. I do know that some people have been saying that since Triple H took over the creative, that he's promised a couple of surprises. We'll see what those couple of surprises are. But this is a very standard card. There's only so much you can do with it. And if there's any major surprise, it's going to have to come at the end, and it's going to have to come during the title match. I mean, I guess you could say, oh, Charlotte came back. What a big surprise. That's not that big of a surprise. Oh, Edge has returned. That's a big surprise. No, that's not a big surprise. Neither of those things are a big surprise, especially Edge. We already know Edge is coming back. Charlotte is a speculation, but I would say that's a very high probability. Aside from that, I don't really think that's a huge surprise. So they're going to have to pull something, Mike, to make this SummerSlam special, or it's going to be pretty forgettable.
I just don't know.
Now, who knows what it's going to be? Yeah, I heard you. Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be either. I just think that it better be something. Now fans are like, funny about this. Triple H barely got his ass back in the seat of creative, and they're like, oh, this is going to totally change everything in SummerSlam. I don't know if that's true. I don't think so. But fans are expecting something now. Fans are expecting, oh, see, that was a Triple H move. So they're going to have to pull something. It'll be very interesting to see if they can. Anyway, Sunday we will be back here to talk about it, let you know who won and our thoughts. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.